All righty, welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. And thanks for listening, however you are. Thanks for being here. We're going to have some fun today because we have our very own dog aficionado, designer. You do it all.
I try. I'm afraid now because I'm not exactly sure how up to snuff I am on my dog facts, but I do love my four-legged friends.
I got faith in you. This is Chad Rock McComsey, and we're going to talk dog facts. We've already talked cat facts with Andrew Gaiman just a few weeks ago, and discussed herb facts with Molly, and now it's time to educate you on dogs. And you know me, Chad, so I couldn't be just straight up on every question.
Of course.
So had to look for some esoteric stuff to have some fun.
All right.
So true or false? We're going to start off true or false in dog facts. True or false, all dogs can be traced back 40 million years to the Miasis. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's spelled M-I-A-C-I-S, to the Miasis, a weasel-like animal that lived in dens or trees.
See the old buck teeth? I'm going to say true.
Dan, you are absolutely right, sir.
Excellent.
It kind of reminds me of when Andrew and I were doing cat facts, and he says, "That sounds so ridiculous, it's got to be true." Now, dog fact number two. Mm-hmm. Do dogs really align themselves with the north-south axis of the earth when they poop?
I got to say, I'm going to say false. I'm going to say that they don't. Because trying to think of like the random positions I've seen my dogs take a squat in. Additionally, scientifically, I don't think the actual axis is where they actually believe it to be. So I guess it also depends if you're talking about magnetic north or you know global north.
Well, see, we are talking magnetic north.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I should have specified that too, because that could completely change it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard it before. I don't know. I don't know what the actual, if it actually is true or false, though.
It's a little of both, actually. Under perfect conditions, with little turbulence, little or no turbulence in the magnetic field, they actually will align themselves north and south. But it has to be perfect conditions.
Yes. Okay.
If there's a thunderstorm and there's a barometric pressure is high or whatever, it's like they probably just want to get it done and get back to their whatever they were doing before.
Yeah. I have a feeling. A lot of that might be urgency based, and or lack thereof urgency based.
I'm not going to spin around anymore here. I got to get her done.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to take a look at that. I've noticed the dogs doing some funny things in the backyard. But
hey, now next up here, this is multiple choice.
All right.
The Taco Bell Chihuahua is named A, Yokiero, B, Herminia, or C, Gidget.
I think oddly enough, I think the dog's name's Gidget.
You are right.
I'd seen that before somewhere. So that's funny. Freaking Taco Bell.
Now this is more about dog health. Is chocolate bad for dogs?
Mm. Kind of, yes, technically, yes. They say that there are small quantities that dogs can eat. So like if they get into like your cookies or something like that, or like some kind of treats, especially with Halloween coming around, one or two pieces of chocolate might not, if they're little, bite-sized pieces, mm-hmm. and depending on the size of your dog too, it might not be that bad. The big one is dark chocolate. So if there's any dark chocolate, that is something that definitely you not even in small doses, I believe. So milk chocolate you can kind of get away with.
But dark chocolate is more dangerous.
Yes.
For dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that.
Yep.
So next up, Kubla Khan. I'm going to test your historical knowledge here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kubla Khan has the record for the most dogs ever owned by one person. And that number is A, 200, B, 2,000, or C, 5,000.
Hmm. Hmm. any note on what kind of dogs they were?
Actually, they were Mastiffs.
That's what I recall something about that. Because he was, they were war dogs, I believe. At least used in battle. So, damn, that's a good question. I want to say 2,000, but really I'm thinking it's 5,000. It's probably more.
You're right.
Yeah.
It is. It's 5,000.
Right on. Okay. Cool. Makes more sense for an army that size.
But, you know, it's interesting because I just read it on a cursory level when I was kind of, you know, looking up dog facts and all. I didn't stop to think about that. It was, you know, war dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So they would want to have more. Now, this is an opinion-based question here.
Oh, fun.
Again, when Andrew was on a few weeks ago, we found out that cats are actually more popular pets in the U.S. How do you, as a dog owner, feel about about cats being allegedly more popular, at least in terms of numbers?
Man, I'm not surprised. It's probably, you know, the similar people also own fish and birds and things of that nature that you don't necessarily... I shouldn't say that for birds. I don't know what it takes to take care of a bird.
Yeah, true.
But I know cats, for the most part, are able to kind of take care of themselves. So, and there's a lot more places, retail speaking, retail-wise, that would allow cats instead of dogs. For whatever reason, I don't understand why, because... I get that, you know, dogs are typically the chewers and they might rip some stuff up, but the smell that sometimes cats leave in places, that, like, you can't get rid of that without doing some serious work. I mean, I feel like sanding some edges or, you know, doing some work on some carpet is a little bit easier than taking the smell out of something. But
let me tell you, there was the old house that we lived in downtown Lititz.
Yeah.
There was a room upstairs that always got the most sun of any room in the house.
Yeah.
We didn't use the room very often. And during the hottest times of the summer, there must have been a cat living in there at one point because it wasn't like an overpowering smell. Mm-hmm. We never could get rid of that cat pee smell. It was definitely there. How far back in history it went, I don't know. But
it was there when the house was built.
It lasted, yeah, probably.
It was the cat's room.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that Google is a dog company?
Does not surprise me.
They can bring dogs with them to work. Employees are actually encouraged to bring dogs with them to work. True or false, Google also encourages bringing cats to work.
False.
You would be correct, sir.
Thank you.
They allow dogs as long as they're well behaved and housebroken, but they actually state that we love cats, but due to the presence of so many dogs, we think that the cats would become too stressed out.
Right. That, and we don't want to have to keep up after your litter boxes everywhere.
Wow, that's true.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I can't, and I don't think Google can either. That's probably why it's a rule.
True or false? The ancient religion Zoroastrianism includes instruction on the care and breeding of dogs in its religious text.
That's interesting. I want to say true. Because I think the Zoroastrian theology, or whatever you want to call it, predates a lot of, say, the big three religions, where I don't think they'd have as much, they don't have the same kind of respect for animals, I guess it is, I think.
You think correctly, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay.
See, you're trying to be humble with your dog prowess here. But see, you know the religious implications of canines? Holy mackerel. So this is another historic question. True or false? A turnspit dog is a strong and long-bodied canine that helped in the kitchen centuries ago.
I cannot.
I'm glad you're liking these.
Man, I tell you what, that's it, that one... I'm gonna say that one's false. That's the visuals that I'm getting are a little bit too good.
Well, I got some visuals for you because it is actually true.
I just see like just the head.
They would operate a wheel. It was like a giant hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And they'd have the dog on there, and the turning of the wheel would help to churn butter, pump water, and turn the roast on a spit. So that's why they were called turn spit dogs.
I had
never heard of that before.
I never heard of that, but the thing that got me the most was I was thinking specifically of that last one, the turning the spit, and thinking to myself of the dog sitting there like beside the fire and like and ruining his head and turning it like over and over.
Hey, look at it. This is torture. Why are you doing this to me? I want to eat the damn thing. I don't want to cook it.
I'm thinking to myself, I would have seen like a Norman Rockwell painting of it somewhere. You know what I mean? So there had to be something displaying the quality of
Norman
what
Rockwell.
The hell.
This here's Americana.
Yeah. Let's get that visual of like of Conan, you know, pushing the pushing the wheel at the very beginning, turning from young man to giant Schwarzenegger in mere minutes, turning a giant wheel. Have you seen that yet, by the way?
Yes, actually.
Okay,
actually,
so you do know where the reference is.
I've got the visual going.
Okay.
I understand. I have to go through the wheel first.
Imagine the neck on those dogs.
Holy mackerel, yeah.
That's a good one.
The most popular dog breed in Canada, U.S., and England is A, English Bulldog, B, Labrador Retriever, or C, Beagle.
Ooh, that's a good one. I gotta go with Labrador on that one.
Well, you gotta go with the right pick there, sir.
All right, good stuff.
And as we have the pictures of hounds and the bulldog in our heads, can the shape of a dog's face suggest how long it will live?
Shape of a dog's face.
Can it suggest?
Yeah, I would say the answer to that would be yes.
You are correct.
Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
Because if you inherently know or can kind of determine the breeds that the dog, if it's purebred, if it's one thing, but there's a lot of mutts, and I'm just gonna call them mutts. I don't know what you can call them all the fantasy breed names,
yeah.
All this other kind of whatever weird stuff you want to call them, but they're still mutts to me.
The Calabra Jackadoodle.
Yeah, right. Good one, Calabra Jackadoodle. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. So anyway, like I was saying, if you could figure out what the dogs are, what the mom and dad is, you probably can have a decent understanding of the lifespan and range and everything like that. So I would say, yeah.
Yep. There's that, and there's also that the dogs that have more pointed faces tend to live longer than the dogs like the bulldogs. That have the more stout and flat faces as well.
Because of breathing issues and things with their nose, maybe, yeah.
Now, the oldest verifiable dog ever died on May 18th, 2013. And this dog was how many years old? A, 18, B, 25, or C, 29?
I'm going to go with 25.
Close.
That's one of the middles.
29.
Close. 29, okay.
83 days shy of turning 30.
Holy cow. Wow.
It was a mixed breed from Louisiana.
How about that?
I'm trying to remember what town in Louisiana it was. I think it was Bastrop. Someplace I've never been.
29 years. That is...
Can you imagine?
Oh.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
That would be absolutely incredible to have a dog that long.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, and finally, got two more questions for you.
Okay.
This one's a very important question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Especially for any of the younger male audience that would be listening to us right now or any any who are on the second time around, want to know how to be a babe magnet. Best dog to attract a date and worst dog to attract a date.
Oh, man.
And I'm asking for your opinion on this because I wrote down what mine were.
Yeah.
And I wrote down what the answers but the answers were according to a study. I mean, I don't think you can really say which one, but this one study determined a best dog to attract a date and a worst dog to attract a date.
Okay.
What would be your picks?
Really, it's...
I think Buddy Winston was pretty awesome for that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Buddy, you know, Buddy's story was completely different. So, like, I didn't have to pick that chick up.
Absolutely.
I got lucky with that one. I think I have good answers, but I would preface it by saying, really, it depends on, you know, the kind of person that you're looking to date. Because, you know, certainly a dog that I would say, it's probably not a good first date dog or a good, you know, dog to attract a companion, might not be the same as, you know, what someone else thinks, you know.
Right, a Ukrainian mud wrestler wouldn't really want a Pomeranian.
Yeah, it's exactly that. That might be the turnoff there. Yeah, I would say as far as a dog that's going to get you a date, I gotta go with the pug. I really think that there's something about a pug that that the opposite sex, regardless, is just drawn to. There's just something about them that. They're lovable. They're ridiculously cute, and they're not huge. They're not, you know, they're not like really tiny. Like you don't feel like you're gonna hurt them, but you feel like you can play with them, like regardless. So I think a pug is probably in there as my top pick. The one I would say not the one that's not gonna get you a date. Remember Hooch, Turner and Hooch?
I absolutely do.
No, that drool.
What kind of dog was Hooch? See, I can't remember.
I feel like he was a pit bull mix of something or other, or some kind of pit mix, because he had all that drool. But it was more or less the drool part, and less about the dog. Dogs that I don't think are gonna get you anywhere. Sharpeys, maybe. Anything that drools a lot, or anything that's really super. If you have to pay more attention to grooming your dog than you do grooming yourself, or paying attention to to your boyfriend and girlfriend, that might be
making your significant other feel less significant.
Yeah, exactly.
See, you were talking about the drool and all that. The first dog that came to my mind as far as okay, this one's going to be a date kill right here is a Saint Bernard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's because there was this huge Saint Bernard named Seagram in my neighborhood growing up. It's kind of not so ironic. He didn't have the barrel around his neck, though.
Sure.
But he was there in spirit.
Definitely.
But I just remember he would wander all over the neighborhood, didn't hurt anybody,
mm-hmm.
drooled all over the place. You could walk down the street where his house was. And especially during the summer, you could see little piles of drool. Like every 10, 12 feet when you're walking down the street away from the house.
Nice.
It was really disgusting.
It's kind of gross, actually. Yeah.
Well, there were some of the kids that would pick it up and throw it at each other.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was disgusting. But I never participated in that.
Sure.
Well, the study showed that Golden Retriever was overall the best dog to attract a date. And I like Golden Retrievers, but it's like, I don't know. I like Labs better. Now the pug, though, I never thought about the pug.
Yeah,
so the pugs are cute.
Pugs are sleeper, man.
Chicks dig pugs.
They do.
Last question. This has to do with Buddy and Mazzy.
Oh, okay.
Your beloved kids. If we had Bring Your Dog to the Office Day,
okay,
what would it be like with Buddy and Mazzy in the office?
Oh man. Well, let's see here. I know, but I've actually brought Buddy in once or twice early on when we didn't have a lot of people in there, and Buddy's the beagle dachshund. He's the inspector, so regardless of what he does, he's gonna go in, he's gonna sniff everything, kind of give everybody the what for, and then just kind of mosey on and do his own thing. Mazzy, she will probably more than likely split her time between picking on her brother while he's trying to investigate things, and then systematically making her way around the room to get hugs and kisses and pets and get you to throw her ball or something like that. She's the scatterbrain ADHD one, loves her ball, loves people, runs around like crazy, and loves to give her brother hell. And Buddy, you know, he's the old man, and he just wants to do his thing and get the kids out of his yard because he's too busy sniffing it. Having them both in the office would be fun and funny, just because you'd be able to see the dynamic in action. just because Buddy would just be like very laid back and chill, and Mazzy would be spazzy.
Spazzy Mazzy.
Yep.
Well, thanks for talking dog facts, Chad.
Hey, man, happy I could be challenging in some degree, or be challenged in some degree. Those good questions.
And thanks for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Bow, wow, wow.
Yippee-yo, yippee-yay.